Over in China, the gloomy economy is making people question the point of taking over Taiwan. That's according to Tao Wang, a research fellow at the Manchester China Institute at the University of Manchester.
His piece, published in Foreign Policy magazine, is titled, China's Public Wants to Make a Living, Not War.
Everyone knows that China's political system is incredibly authoritarian, with long-term exploitation and oppression. In all respects, I am very pessimistic about my future under it. From my faith to my politics, I see no hope for me. Freedom, freedom, freedom. There's no other reason but freedom. I hope for freedom. When I go out, I was prepared to die on the way if necessary. Many Chinese internet users, including the so-called little pinks, profess absolute support for government policies for the sake of survival. If they did not say such things, they might not live to see another day. But do they really want to fight a war? They can't even fill their bellies. Of course, nobody is willing to fight a war to fulfill someone else's ambitions.
According to Wang, there's been a shift in public sentiment in China's online space. After Taiwan's 2016 and 2020 general elections, there were waves of pro-war fever on the Chinese internet. But after the 2024 election, defiant voices became a common reaction to nationalist calls for war. Wang wrote that discontent about China's economic reality is, quote, drowning out calls for a military takeover. A delegation of European Green Party officials is visiting Taiwan. It was received by President Tsai Ing-wen at the presidential office on Monday.
The visit comes after Vice President-elect Xiaobi Kim met key political figures in Europe. The foreign ministry confirms that during her low-key visit, Xiao stopped by the European Parliament and met with prominent MEPs.
President Tsai Ing-wen received a delegation from the European Green Party, which is visiting Taiwan for the first time. Tsai thanked her guests for supporting Taiwan with concrete action.
I want to express my gratitude to the European Parliament and to each one of you for your concrete actions affirming Taiwan's democracy and freedom and for continuing to strengthen support for Taiwan. I also want to take this opportunity to thank the European Green Party for backing Taiwan's international participation.
I think under your wise leadership over the last years, Taiwan has won many, many additional friends around Europe. If you look at the European Parliament, we have charted a course of strong, cohesive solidarity. All the five major political groups that often disagree on almost everything do agree on our support for Taiwan.
The delegation said one reason for its visit was to learn from Taiwan's experience in countering authoritarianism.
In the face of a growing wave of authoritarianism, and Taiwan and us share democratic values, share human rights values, share the value of rule of law. And on that basis, we build our solidarity.
I believe that your visit will facilitate deeper exchanges between Taiwan and Germany as well as other EU countries on issues of mutual concern. I also anticipate even closer bilateral cooperation on counter-disinformation, supply chain security, and economic and trade exchanges.
Amid warming Taiwan-Europe relations, Vice President-elect Xiaobi Kim began a low-key visit in Europe in mid-March. Besides meeting important political figures from several countries, Xiao was invited to visit the European Parliament, where she was received by First Vice President Otmar Karas and more than 30 MEPs.
We look forward to her return because we started a live streamed show and we're under a lot of pressure to get viewers. We need Xiao to come on the show and boost viewership.
There are reports that Xiao has already finished her European tour and returned to Taiwan. However, neither the Ministry of Foreign Affairs nor the DPP has given a confirmation. DPP spokesperson Justin Wu made a humorous call for Xiao's swift return, saying he needs her back to promote his show.
The Ministry of Justice has established a forensic medicine department in partnership with Tri-Service General Hospital. The initiative aims to improve forensic training. It's also meant to support the Shilin District Prosecutor's Office in carrying out forensic examinations. A partnership agreement was signed at a Monday ceremony.
High-profile attendees included Minister of Justice Tsai Ching-hsiang and Deputy Defense Minister Xu Yanpu.
把对方掐死之后，然后再就是伪装成服用安眠药自杀的现场。
See that one party strangles another to death, and the scene is manipulated to resemble a suicide by sleeping pill overdose. Without forensic scrutiny and autopsy, there would be no way to unveil the truth on behalf of the victim.
我们真的需要鼓励病理医生啊，能够取得法医师的资格。
We very much need to encourage pathologists to achieve forensic certification. This will not only enable them to take on work as forensic pathologists, but will yield mutual benefits.
Over the past 14 years, the Justice Ministry has established forensic medicine departments at three hospitals, Kaohsiung Medical University, National Cheng Kung University Hospital, and China Medical University Hospital. Tri-Service General Hospital is its fourth and final hospital collaboration. Through these hospital-based units, the ministry aims to fill the national gap in demand for forensic professionals. Children's Day is right around the corner, and the presidential office has planned a day of fun.
On April 4th, the century-old building will turn into a sprawling maze featuring games and live performances. Children can also hop inside three military aircraft replicas for a photo to remember.
4月4号为宝贝们准备儿童派对。It
is a great honor to be invited to perform on Children's Day.
Pint-sized color guards command the stage as they announce a Children's Day party at the presidential office. For the first time ever, the presidential office will host a Children's Day party on April 4th, welcoming the public from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. The building will be transformed into a giant maze with market stands, live performances, and games.
On April 4th, many spaces that aren't usually open to the public will be accessible. They include the briefing room we are in right now and the north and south courtyards.
There will be games with soap bubbles, storytelling, and circus acts. Visitors can also hop inside replicas of the Mirage 2000, F-16, and Brave Eagle military jets. Inside the briefing room, they can have a go at holding a press conference and playing the part of a presidential spokesperson. And rumor has it that the president and VP plan to stop by.
We're looking forward to trying out this kind of event, to opening up the presidential office so that children can have fun. The schedules of the president and vice president are still being finalized. If anything is confirmed, we will, as usual, make an announcement the day before.
The heavily guarded presidential office is set to become a fun fair so that the young and young at heart can enjoy this century-old building.
Who says ballet is just for children? More and more ballet classes for older adults are opening across Taiwan. The trend is to use ballet as an artistic training for muscle stamina and balance in older age.
Such classes are enjoyed by those who danced ballet in their youth, as well as those who have never put dance shoes on before. Students say they appreciate the psychological as well as physical health benefits.
The students' hands extend in an arc, accentuating the leap of the legs. This lively country dance is called a gallop. The dancers keep their balance by holding a bar as they adjust their posture in the mirror. But contrary to stereotypes, they're all rich in years.
I learned the foundations of ballet as a child, and then when I changed schools, I gradually stopped learning. Much later, after I retired, I really wanted to pick up my ballet dream again. Everyone looks so beautiful in the clothing, and our poses are getting better and better. I think it's great.
These dancers have returned to ballet over the age of 50. Li Peilun turns up for class every week. Her flexibility and memory are not the same as they once were, but she applies herself diligently and achieves a beautiful elegance. Her classmate, Wang Meijun, is of the same generation. She never danced in her youth. After 30 years as a clinical psychologist and then a bout of illness, she found herself on the dance floor for the first time.
出现了癌症的问题。
I had a problem with cancer, and it felt like I needed to totally rethink how I organize my time and my focus in life. And then by a stroke of luck, I saw a news report about ballet, how it's not only good for your physical health, but also enhances some psychological capacities.
Traditional ballet training focuses heavily on technique, but a recent European trend to teach ballet for older people, focusing more on muscle stamina and limb coordination, is gradually catching on in Taiwan.
In ballet for older people, we really, really concentrate on the joints and on building up the muscles. Their balance improves and it can prevent muscle loss.
These students are cutting a lively figure across the dance floor and setting an elegant example for vivacious older life.
Despite global challenges like the Ukraine-Russia war and high inflation rates, Taiwan's economy has posted strong growth in recent years.
According to the Taiwan Institute of Economic Research's latest forecast, economic growth will stay above 3% for the 8th consecutive year in 2024. But a strong GDP has made little impact to most people's daily lives. Experts attribute this disconnect to the structure of Taiwan's economy.
Over
the past 7 years, Taiwan's annual GDP growth has averaged 3.4%, higher than the global average. But that growth has made little impact on the general public. According to the central bank, labor share in Taiwan, or the total wage compensation as a percent of GDP, is on the decline. That is to say, company revenue is growing, but worker wages aren't.
The growth is driven by TSMC, by the semiconductor sector. Half of our economy depends on semiconductors, while the other half depends on services. Growth in the service sector seems to be more limited. Although Taiwan's economy is growing at a high rate and the figures look very good, the reality is that the semiconductor sector employs very few people. Outside of science parks, nobody really receives a share of the gains, so growth in the sector doesn't affect everyone. In South Korea, some industries do drive growth across the board.
Compared to Taiwan, South Korea's economy is more heavily based on the service sector. The global spread of South Korean popular culture has driven development in many related industries. In contrast, capital-intensive manufacturing has prevailed in Taiwan since the year 2000. Meanwhile, most of the service sector is made up of small and medium-sized enterprises, which have a limited impact on wage growth. Last week, Taiwan's central bank surprised markets by raising interest rates by 12.5 basis points in a bid to stabilize prices. Experts say that's not enough.
Taiwan shares are booming and the market is red hot. Increasing interest rates by 12.5 basis points to cool off the economy is like trying to put out a raging blaze with a water gun. It does signal a warning and pushes slightly on the brakes, but saying that it will have a significant impact on the economy is an overstatement, I think.
The Taiwan Institute of Economic Research projects that Taiwan's economic growth will remain above 3% in 2024.
The Industrial Technology Research Institute, or ITRI, has partnered with Japan's Mizuho Bank to deepen Taiwan-Japan industrial collaboration. Mizuho Bank covers 70% of listed companies in Japan.
It will collaborate with ITRI on industry information sharing, matchmaking for startups, and technological exchange between Taiwanese and Japanese companies. The two sides signed an MOU at a ceremony attended by Hattori Takashi, deputy representative of the Japan-Taiwan Exchange Association.
ITRI and Japan's Mizuho Bank have signed an MOU on three major areas of cooperation. Japan-Taiwan Exchange Association Deputy Representative Hattori Takashi and venture capitalists attended the signing ceremony. The partnership is set to create new opportunities for Taiwanese startups.
For Taiwanese startups, this partnership will provide vital support and breakthroughs. The bank has an extensive client base in Japan. If Taiwan startups want to explore the Japanese market, it can provide access to many of these customers who present potential business opportunities.
Mitsuho Bank has its own startup accelerator program and is a bridge to financing in the Japanese market. Under the MOU, the two sides will share industry information, help startups find collaborative partners, and support technological and R&D exchange between Japanese and Taiwanese companies.
Mitsuho is one of Japan's top three banks, and it covers 70% of listed companies in Japan. This collaboration will strengthen the R&D capabilities of Taiwanese corporations, supporting their entry into global markets through Japan.
ITRI's Industrial Economics and Knowledge Center will provide customized industry intelligence, technological data, and research based on the bank's needs. Together, the two sides aim to open up new markets and to nurture Taiwan's next unicorn business.
To non-scientists, scientific discoveries about the ocean may not seem very exciting, but one player short ensemble is trying to change that.
Working with scientists at the Taiwan Ocean Research Institute, the experimental theater troupe is bringing the mysteries of the ocean to life in a celebration of how much we've discovered and how much we still have to learn.
The ocean is all around us, but how much do we really understand it? We've brought together several different types of artists to take you on an undersea journey and learn about what scientists have discovered from a totally new perspective.
The ocean constitutes 70% of the Earth's surface, but actually, looking at it from the perspective of biological activity, we only have living creatures in the atmosphere up to about 10,000 meters above the Earth's surface, but the deepest parts of the ocean are 10,000 meters below the surface. So if we want to understand the whole biosphere, not only do we need to take the ocean surface into account, but also this huge volume of space below the surface of the ocean. It's an extremely important subject.
Explorations of the ocean rely on advances in technology.
What is the distribution of creatures in the deep sea? We can't just look at it, but we tend to only believe things we've seen with our eyes.
If we want to see into the deep sea, we need to use scientific instruments. Undersea vehicles are broadly divided into manned and unmanned vehicles.
Why do we need underwater vehicles? The maximum diving depth is just 60 meters. Underwater conditions are very harsh. So how can we do exploratory work in such deep places? We have to use underwater robots.
Everything else they could have done, like... 地球70%是海洋, 人体有70%是水。
70% of the Earth is ocean, and humans are 70% water. I don't think that's a coincidence. It has to be meaningful. So we tend to think we know lots about the ocean, but when you really learn about it, you realize that's not true. We may find it's just like how we imagine that we understand ourselves, but actually we don't. I hope our audience will get a visceral experience of being in the ocean.
It's hard to imagine that, although thousands of ocean scientists dedicate their lives to the field, science has only really explored about 5% of the ocean. The sea is still a vast and captivating mystery. These actors are using movement to evoke a felt sense of the ocean for audiences, while scientists are constantly organizing exploratory missions with undersea robots and other equipment. Drop by drop, their discoveries will gradually expand our understanding of the ocean.
Zhuguang Tower is an emblem of Jingmen's martial spirit, but just across the street there's an officer who's even more captivating.
Originally from China, Cui Siqi moved to Jingmen in 2020 to start a military, the themed business serving drinks made from local ingredients.
From the moment the ticket booth opens every day, tourists flock to take a photo with the uniformed soldier and maybe also quench their thirst.
Zhuguang Tower, built to symbolize the wartime history of Jinmen, is usually the first stop for tourists. But their first photo is often not with the tower, but with a uniform-clad woman at a nearby stall. Cui Siqi introduces to everyone the slow, steep sorghum and aged tea she uses to make her signature red Gaoliang milk tea.
There's a particular sorghum taste to the tea, different from the kind of drinks you normally buy. The tea taste is also strong, but it's not too sweet or syrupy. Gaoliang is actually just a kind of cereal before it's fermented to make liquor, so the tea doesn't taste alcoholic. So although it can be made into liquor, it can also be eaten or used in tea, anything you can think of.
If you don't like milk, she also makes an aged battle tea from aged puer, chrysanthemum, and herbal essence. Cui, who moved to Taiwan for marriage, was drawn to Jinmen over 3 years ago for its slow pace of life. A proprietor of military supplies suggested that she wear fatigues and adopt a military theme for her business, even helping her pick out the name Flower of the Battlefield.
After I started wearing this, I saw it stirred many memories of Jinmen's military culture among visitors. So everyone loves to take photos with me in these fatigues.
These fatigues have resonated with a lot of people. Jinmen veterans will come to report and share past uniforms. Cui's shop is also packed full of armbands, sashes, hats, canteens, and other military paraphernalia. She turns people's stories into displays, creating a kind of living community center.
I'm the kind of person who likes a challenge. If I like a place, I will observe it carefully. So I was deeply moved by the culture of the Jinmen military. I found it infectious.
She used to help her husband with his business, but now follows her own passions. Cui says she plans to open more locations and get more young people involved to carry on Jinmen's military heritage.
I think young people will bring fresh ideas. Ideas different from my own to incorporate together in order to make Jinmen better and attract more tourism.
Taoyuan International Airport paid tribute to a Boeing 747-400 on its final flight on Monday. The last 747 owned by Asiana Airlines made its last voyage on Monday, departing from Taoyuan and returning to its home base of South Korea.
It was honored with a ceremonial water salute at both departure and arrival airports. Celebrated as a queen of the skies, the 747 was once the backbone of international air travel. But it's since fallen out of favor due to its poor fuel efficiency. Today, most 747s have either retired or been transitioned to cargo service.